Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bradley.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. You need to get the new logos on your shirts. They've got them at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. When you want to grab a great lunch in the city of Starkville, you can't do better than Restaurant Tyler. If you are a true Southerner, you love that blue plate, that meat and two, meat and three. It's the best one in town is at Restaurant Tyler, one of the best you'll ever have. Great selection of meats and veggies, great cornbread. And if that's not your cup of tea, man, they got all sorts of options for lunch for you. So check them out sometime this week. Come to eat the best lunch in town. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you everything that they're going to do for you and do for your money in terms of investments, money management, and building for your future. Now more than ever, it's important to be able to talk to people at your bank that when you have questions, you want to get answers. You don't have to get the runaround. You don't get that at Priority One Bank. They know how to take care of you. They also know how to help you build your financial future. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I didn't know we were going to a concert slash spiritual journey last night, Robbie Falk.
I kind of had a feeling that that was going to happen.
Prior to the show, I was like, I wonder if they'll play any covers. And then the first time you spoke, I was like, nope. Nope, we're getting all Creed. It's all Creed.
But it was great. And we got the full Creed experience. We got the Scott Stapp philosophical break between every song where he's talking about, you know, basically laying in a field and looking up at the stars and seeing someone's face in it. And it was incredible. I didn't regret a single moment.
It was fantastic. Really enjoyed it. So I want to thank you bought your tickets, but I got mine through Super Talk. So I want to thank Super Talk for hooking me up with
it was one of the most fun experiences I've had in a long time.
We needed to get away from it bad. A couple hours. And
so when this thing went on sale in, it was like February, it was like, you know, 7 months.
Yeah.
My friends and I, that I never get the chance to see, we all said we're going, you know, couples, everything. So we had almost an entire row of just us, and getting a chance to see them and catch up, and then just the whole nostalgia of it. Like, it was just, it's literally 25 years in the making, because when I was a kid, you know, my parents, I couldn't just get them to take me to a Creed concert, you know, just wasn't going to happen. And I think they came back and had a tour, you know, maybe like 10 years ago or something. And I never got a chance to see it. So this was truly like a bucket list thing. Yeah. And not many people get a chance to do this. So it was awesome. Incredible show. The music was great. Scott Stapp is so underrated. People have made fun of that guy for years, but he is so good.
He's a rock.
Mark Tremonti. It was incredible. I thought Daughtry was great too.
They were really good. That cover of Separate Ways, I know you had to be going nuts. I know you're.
Oh yeah. Well, I've heard that cover before. He does that with, I think, Lizzie Hale. Maybe he usually does that with. But his vocal range is crazy.
Great.
Great. Another guy that gets a bad rap. I don't know why, but super talented.
American Idol.
Now, I didn't care anything about Finger 11, but
Yeah, but they were fine.
They were fine.
Yeah, the music's good. So, all right. So back to business here in Starkville as Mississippi State.
Do we have to? Can we just talk about the concert the entire time?
I told Jennifer the next time I go to anytime I'm like, I don't know why we would go to a bar and dance, but if we go somewhere where we have to dance, I am dancing like Scott Stapp on beat.
Yes.
You can't see what I just did, but it was incredible. I promise.
You put on a freaking show, man.
It's great. It's great. All right. Mississippi State would like that. Let's easy transition. That was a show that delivered. Not so much here at Mississippi State these past couple of games. State will turn things around this weekend with a game against the Florida Gators. This is a game between two teams that are like a man dying in the desert of thirst. I mean, they are desperate for victory this weekend. Florida, I did an interview today with Chuck Oliver, and he gave the comment. He thinks that Billy Napier has already been fired, that they're just kind of like procedurally going through this for right now. And then you have Lebby, who obviously is
like he's formally like been told you're not coming back.
I think if I understood what Chuck was saying correctly, yeah, that maybe there's a procedural thing where they're like, look, you hanging on through this, and we'll pay you this, and we'll figure it out. I don't know. I don't know the answer, man. Because Florida doesn't have a president right now. And we've talked many times about Scott Strickland and how, you know, you don't normally get to hire a third football coach when the first two had to be, you know, let go. So that's a tough spot there for the Gators. So they're in disarray. They're on the verge of tapping out. I mean, you got to feel like they're at their breaking point. And yet you don't feel like Mississippi State is in any position to take advantage. You don't feel like Mississippi State is in any position to grab the momentum here. I feel like whoever gets an early score in this game is going to blow the other team out. I really feel like that. I feel like if somebody goes up like quick 10-0, we're going to look up in the fourth quarter and it's going to be like 42-3 or something like that. Like whoever gets behind in this game is going to quit and do it fast. So for Mississippi State, it's very dangerous because they have not been a team to get off to good starts this year. And then their first two games against real competition, and I mean, I can't believe I'm saying Toledo's real competition, but obviously they are. They have fallen behind big time in both of those games. A quick start's obviously a big deal. It's big to everybody. Nobody ever wants to be behind, and one of the keys to success is getting out early and making the other team chase, Robbie. But this week in particular, if State falls behind 10-0, you could change the channel on this team, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels kind of helpless. Like, that's just where – and, again, I want to reiterate what I said the other day. I don't think that means that this is going to be a complete failure for Jeff Lebby. I think the book is still out there on him. Like, with Zach Garnett, I think you could clearly see that you had to abort that situation, get out of there as quickly as possible. With Jeff Lebby, I think you're kind of at the point now where you have to just see this through and in the offseason just try to, you know, fix it the best that you possibly can with a total overhaul. Because this, I mean, I feel like this could really snowball for Mississippi State in a big way over the next few weeks. And I don't think there's any way, you know, out of the fact that you're probably going to lose all of those ball games that, you know, that you're going to be heavily, you know, the other teams will be heavily favored in. And you're looking at 2-3 wins at this point, but what you've got to see, you got to see the team kind of sticking together, fighting through it. If this team gives up at any point, it's going to get really, really bad. And this is one of those games where it could happen. So this week is pivotal for Mississippi State moving forward as a program to kind of keep its head above water and try to make it out of this thing and then regroup. Because if they come out in this ball game, Florida punches them in the mouth and they just like lay down, it's going to get really, really bad this year for them. So I think that this game is huge. It's not a game that I think changes a whole lot for you as far as getting bowl eligible. You're still going to have to probably beat Arkansas and UMass and then, you know, find upsets in there somewhere, which seems very unlikely at this point. But At the very least, you're showing that you still have fight in you. You're getting better. You're correcting your mistakes. That's kind of what you're looking for here this week. And how many times has there been a coach that's just dead in the water that Mississippi State can't knock out? You know, Ed Orgeron was like
Orgeron
that at LSU.
A couple years ago, you've talked about that a lot.
That you had him literally teetering on the edge, and you gave him, you know, another week or so. You know, Jimbo Fisher, he got fired after beating Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Gus Malzahn got fired after beating Mississippi State. They just haven't been able to take advantage of these opportunities. You know, Kareem obviously did, which is strange, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to take care of these opportunities. And this is one of those games where they really need to, because while I think they're starting to get some momentum and maybe they're pushing guys to commit to get some momentum there, mm-hmm. you got to keep showing players that it's worth it to come to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where they're at right now. It's like you've got to prove that things are moving in the right direction.
I thought one thing that he said was kind of interesting, and he was asked by our friend Jeff Lebby, was asked by our friend John Sokoloff this question. This question is the sign. So Lebby was asked basically about Florida being a desperate football team, and you know, do you consider that, and how did Lebby made the comment. And when you hear this comment, it sounds very, very coach speaky, right? It sounds like something, you know, we don't outside noise and all that. But I think in this instance, it's very true that he says we're 100% focused on Mississippi State and we're focused on what's happening in this building. And I have to think that that is the truth. That is not a coach speak thing. Whoever you're playing is irrelevant if you can't get your own team to do the things that you want them to do. And right now, that's what the problem is for Mississippi State. You know, one thing I always say about coaches is they make mistakes, but they're not idiots, right? These guys, they understand the game of football. They understand how to scheme and how to play call. So when things don't work, you know, when a coach says it's a lack of execution, a lot of times it is. That's not to say there aren't some bad calls out there. They happen all the time. With Mississippi State right now, there's talent shouldn't be an issue when you play a team like Toledo. It really shouldn't be one when you play a team like Arizona State, but it is right now. So State is just really, really handicapped, and they've got to focus on themselves and trying to find a couple of things that they can do well on both sides of the ball and build the game plans around that. Now, is that going to be – maybe they need to be a little bit more pass-heavy because Shapen and the receivers have been pretty strong this year. I did see a point that I made a lot with Joe Moorhead, and I saw it on three, that somebody said, you know, because there's so much RPO, and so you've got these guys and they're zone blocking and they're you know, they're petrified of getting that ineligible man downfield penalty. Just call a run. Just call a run. We're gonna run the ball here. You fire off, drive your guy down the field as far as you can, and see if you can get something going that way. Not everything has to be an RPO. You can just hand the ball off. You don't have to have these other options. You can show those options. You can make it look like an RPO, but in reality, the quarterback goes, breaks the huddle, and says, "We're going to hand the ball off here," and you kind of take it from there. A little bit more direct to the running game might be something that helps them. Defensively, I don't know what that choice is for Mississippi State, because they are just outmanned badly on that side of the ball.
I thought the scheme on Saturday wasn't that bad.
Terrible, but I mean, when you're getting over by MAC running backs, it does not give you a lot of hope for the SEC schedule.
Yeah, like as far as scheme is concerned, like they're in position the other day. Like you got a linebacker that's standing right there, ready to make a tackle, and the dude just plows over him. And I mean, we're not talking about, you know, Bo Jackson here. Right. We're not talking about Herschel Walker. These are, you know, 5'9" running backs that are just stomping all over Mississippi State's linebackers. It's insane. So, like, the scheme, I thought they changed it up, looked much better from a, you know, schematic standpoint. I didn't see, you know, guys totally out of position. They did have a few plays like that. But for the most part, you had guys just, like, chasing – receivers chasing after the quarterback, couldn't get to him. I mean, it looks to me like Mississippi State's just untalented. And again, that you still should be more talented than the MAC team, which, you know, kind of, I mean, the whole NIL conversation that keeps coming up every time Mississippi State loses, I mean, that doesn't play into getting stomped by Toledo. But and then on the offensive side, like, when we watched Joe Moorhead, we talked about how he was just not – he refused to do what worked with the personnel that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Fitzgerald was one of the most productive running quarterbacks in the history of the SEC. The numbers bear that out. All-time leading rusher in the SEC. What he did, whether in read option or whatever, was really successful for Mississippi State. And Joe Moorhead tried to make him an RPO guy. Kevin Barbet's offense, they tried to make Mississippi State a more pro-style offense with air raid players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't when I look at the offense with Jeff Lebby, I don't see a lot of concerns from a schematic standpoint. That to me is a good sign. I think that the scheme is fine. I just think it's not being executed, or it's a whole process of like the offensive line just doesn't have that continuity, which has kind of been what I've been talking about. But at some point, you're going to have to start making some changes up front. If you're not getting better each week, we're going to have to start seeing some more Luke work or some Jimothy Lewis. If you're going to get beat anyway, you might as well let those guys start getting those reps.
Yeah, I agree. So the sign remains Mississippi State, focus on Mississippi State. That makes the most sense. The sign is brought to you by the good folks over at Pip Printing and Signs. When you want your customers to see the sign, call Pip Printing and Signs today. Talk to Cam Baker. Let him know you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Whatever the message is that your business is trying to get out there, the same way Jeff Lebby is trying to get his message out to us, you could do that with Pip Printing and Signs. And I think the results might be a lot more favorable to you than they've been recently for Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. So for this game, Robbie, for Mississippi State, this feels like, I want to say this. There's two things that have been on my mind the past couple of days. One, and our good friend Ryan Nelson made this point in a group text. I mean, he's like, State, it's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think sometimes with State. And that, I mean, State hasn't gone winless in conference play since, I believe, 2002. I believe that's correct. They've always found a way to win at least one SEC game. So I don't think they're going to go 0-8. Now, I could be wrong on that. If they play the way they played Saturday, they will go 0-8. But I got to feel like they're going to step up at some point. The other thing that bothers me, that's really bothering me, is we spent the offseason, we did a show on best-case scenarios, right? And our guy over on three, SoTex Dog, reamed us because we said best-case scenario, you play Texas and Georgia, and those games are really, really close, and you just gets away from you there at the end. I feel like it's just been so long when State has played an elite team, played a team that's truly, truly good, that the game was even competitive. You know, you could say maybe Ole Miss last year, but that's not a truly elite team. They weren't going to – you know, when's the last time when they played Georgia? I guess 2020, but that wasn't the best Georgia team. They didn't go to the playoff or anything that year. It's just been a while.
It was 2020. It was such a weird time.
Yeah, and they played Alabama, who did win the national title that year, and they lost 41-0. You know, they haven't played competitive ball games against these top teams, and I just feel like, you know, it's one thing to lose, Robbie, but – I feel like State, after they get through this week, and I don't know what's going to happen right now. I haven't made my prediction. I haven't totally settled on it. But I feel like the Texas and Georgia games, they're both going to be like 50-plus point losses, and this fan base is just going to be hammered to the point of, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. That's what we talked about the other day, is like, you are in a dangerous spot right now.
Yeah.
Because – what Mississippi State needs more than anything is a total commitment from the fan base, from the administration, that we're going to do everything possible to make Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State competitive. And the issue with that is, if you aren't showing anything on the field, why are people going to commit to that? So State's going to have to get really creative with what they do to try to keep fans invested. The Bulldog Initiative, Mississippi State Athletics, they're going to have to be really creative in keeping people locked in, because this is going to be very difficult over the next 10-plus weeks. It's going to be really difficult for every single person in this fan base. That includes the most optimistic Mississippi State fan that there is. There's no way that there's a person in this fan base that is going to be able to sit through what is coming down the line here with four or five top 10 teams that you got on the schedule. It's going to be absolutely brutal, but State somehow has to survive this season with people pulling in the right direction. And it's been difficult for this fan base to pull in for everybody to pull in the right direction for a lot of different sports. It's been very tough for people to say, we're going to go all in on making Mississippi State as competitive as they can possibly be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baseball, women's basketball, I think that's happened in both of those sports. But football, how many times does that happen?
It hasn't.
So Dan Mullen, maybe when he first got here, I think people were pulling
in
the right direction.
One of the things he did was he told the people in the athletic department, the problem is y'all.
Yeah.
And like the messaging has to change. And it did, and it worked for a while. So maybe that's the case too. This Friday, we will be Super Talk Mississippi, Sports Talk Mississippi will be at the Greater Starkville Development Partnership. Charlie Winfield is going to come by and talk with us. And I'm also, I talked to Charlie yesterday on the way home from the concert, and I told him, I said, look, we got to get this message. I know you've got stuff to talk about. Why don't we have you at least once a month on Thunder and Lightning? And he's like, let's do that. So next week, or this Friday, he'll be on Sports Talk Mississippi, but then next week will be the first. We'll have him on at least once a month to talk about whatever's going on. What does he need to talk about? So does that make me a little bit of a shill for Mississippi State? Who could have guessed? But it'll be all right. So Charlie,
like it doesn't happen at the other place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even worried about it. So yeah, we're going to start giving him that platform and try to get his message out there a little bit better.
And it's such a confusing thing. It's like when you look at these last two games, I say to myself, you should be able to beat Toledo. Uh-huh. It's not an NIL deal with like you're just not talented enough. But when you look at the roster as a whole, and you look at them like what they couldn't do with the defensive recruiting, mm-hmm. Overall it is an NIL thing for Mississippi State, in that they're going to have to get much better players. I don't think that this university is struggling as far as NIL is concerned, mm-hmm. but you're kind of in dire straits here, where you have to go upgrade this roster in a major way in December, mm-hmm. whenever the time comes when that opens. You've got to go get, you know, all conference type players, like three or four of those guys on defense. Mm-hmm. And I think this defense is going to be significantly better. I think there's some good news coming for this defense in the next, you know, maybe the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. I think they're adding a lot of talent to that room. I think it's going to be much better, but you've got to completely overhaul it, man.
Great.
So it's not an NIL issue in the same vein it is. I mean, Mississippi State shouldn't lose to Toledo, and they didn't lose because Toledo had more NIL than they did.
That's correct.
But they weren't able to go out in the offseason and convince players to come here. And what you've got to do is you've got to give them no choice.
And it's so backwards, right? You think about it like a business that's failing. Well, you're like a restaurant that's gone downhill, right? You're just like, well, I'm just not going to go there. I'd like to stay open, but I the food's not any good. So I don't go there. I don't give them my business. This is the opposite of that. This is, the team's not any good. I have to give them more business than ever. And that is a weird backwards way of thinking. And it's really not the right thing that should be happening, but it is what it is. So
it makes no sense, but this is the hand that you've been dealt in college athletics. And the only way to compete now in this league and nationally is just spending money. Yeah. And it sucks. It's a depressing part of college athletics. at this stage, but you can either, you know, jump on board with that, or you can kind of get left behind. And that's been our message for the last year.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, man. Like you're asking these fans to do more than ever before. And now you're asking them to do more than ever before with a product that is failing. But to me, that's the only way that Mississippi State gets out of this thing.
Great. All right, let's move into our SEC picks. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, if you're throwing something on the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. If you don't want to cook out, you want to take it easy and let somebody else do the cooking, we have so many great steakhouses around this great state of ours. You can't go too far without running into one. So whichever one it is, if you want to work the grill or if you want to let somebody else do it, you can enjoy a fantastic steak this weekend. And I definitely think you should do it. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. It is the place to go when you want to have a great meal and a great time in the Cotton District. The food, fantastic. The people are awesome. It's the best location. If you want something a little different, though, just sneak on over to the Older Brother for a fancy sandwich. That's right, fancy sandwiches. Did you know such a thing exists? They do. And you should go and try them at your next earliest convenience. My mom, you might see my mom there. She is the Older Brother's most favorite. That's her place now. She's lived here for 2 months, and she's already been to the Older Brother more than I have. So that just gives you an idea of how – and my mom, she's a picky one. You would never have guessed that, would you, Robbie? Is that
where you got it from?
Well, she's not as picky as me, but she's picky about her restaurant. But she loves the Older Brother. The people there are real sweet to her every time she comes in, so she loves it. You're going to need to go check it out for yourself. Check out the Older Brother and Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. 50. 50.
50.
So when you need technology for your business, you give them a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number. It's the same people. It's not a 1-800 number that puts you on hold for 40 minutes and then schedules an appointment with somebody and he'll be there in a week to 10 days. Imagine your copier breaking and you got to wait 10 days to get it fixed. That's just ludicrous. That's why you deal with Advantage Business Systems. They can come and fix it a lot of times the exact same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this weekend, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. is Starkville's best place to grab Mississippi State gear because they have a selection unlike anybody else. So much cool stuff that you cannot find anywhere else. Talked about the Bulldog Initiative. If you want to support them and wear the Bulldog Initiative polos and hoodies, you can only get them at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white under one roof. And, of course, you can save a little money with our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Saturday, go to Maroon & Co. Still even on our SEC picks. Will this be the week? Will we have a tiebreaker this week? Let's just jump right into it, Robbie. We'll go through the ones I think we will agree on. Ohio versus Kentucky. I think we'll both take the Wildcats.
They play such boring SEC. I mean, non-SEC games.
Yeah, even they're like rivalry, like Louisville. Who cares?
Like nobody. It's boring, cares. Man.
I think we'll both agree on this one, but I do want to talk about it, so we'll come back to it. Conference. Texas A&M Bowling Green. We'll take the Aggies. Our guy Jomo. At South Carolina, I think the Gamecocks roll there. And Georgia Southern at Ole Miss.
Ugh.
The red and blue murder machine moves on. And then the college football quarterback showdown we've been waiting on, Robbie. Arch Manning versus General Booty.
Yes.
Texas versus ULM, but we will take the Longhorns in that one.
Is there any chance that Arch Manning creates some controversy?
I don't know, because Sarkisian, I don't think he would allow that. I think he would just go back to Quinn Ewers. But Arch Manning is going to start the game against Mississippi State. We're going to get Manning versus Mississippi State. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll just brace ourselves.
Yay.
All right. UCLA at LSU. UCLA is not good. That's not a surprise. I think when they hired Deshaun Foster, we were all like, that's not going to work. Then he froze up and couldn't speak at Big Ten Media Days. We were like, yeah, that guy's not ready for this. LSU
had to let everyone know that UCLA was in Los Angeles where USC was.
Also, yes, that's correct. So LSU is a 24-point favorite in this game.
Oh.
This is an SEC Big Ten matchup where one team is a 24-point favorite. And the team, I mean, it's not like LSU is number one in the nation. They're just 16th. I'll take the Tigers for sure. I just wanted to talk about this game a little bit, though, because UCLA, they shouldn't be this bad. They shouldn't.
I just don't – I haven't seen them have, like, a ton of juice in a long time. Like, when was the last –
like right when they first
was Josh Rosen.
Kelly, I was like, okay, they're going in the right direction, but it never worked. And
was there like hype around like when Josh Rosen was there? And
yeah, they started off well, Jim Mora was the coach, right?
Yeah,
and it just didn't work either.
I mean, and you look at their games, there's like no one there.
Yeah,
like
they play in a 100,000 seat stadium that nobody that's not on campus. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
One of the most iconic stadiums in the world.
Like, how far is that from their campus? UCLA campus to Rose Bowl. It's a 40-minute drive.
It's a road game every week.
Imagine if State's home stadium was in Tupelo. I mean, it's just so.
I mean, I hear people all the time that play or played at schools in the SEC that have talked about how it was tough to travel from Columbus or Tupelo to Starkville for the game.
Yeah.
And imagine that as a home team.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be – I don't think LSU's great, but they should be able to handle this UCLA team.
Agreed. All right. Very interesting game here. And I don't know that we would have said this a couple weeks ago, but all of a sudden it's got some spice. Arkansas at Auburn. 2:30 on ESPN. That is a fascinating game. Somebody's season is going off the rails here.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Yeah.
You're going for
the Oklahoma State game has changed my thoughts on Arkansas on the road.
And the UAB game didn't change them back?
That's what's kind of conflicting me is I don't really know how good Arkansas is. They haven't beaten anyone. They were competitive against Oklahoma State, but they lost.
Yeah.
Auburn is such a tough place to play. I think I'm still going to go with Auburn in this game, just giving them the home field advantage.
God, I would hate to buy you dinner because I picked freaking Arkansas.
It's just week three.
It's week four.
Or week four.
You know how that goes, though. You fall in a hole and it never climb out.
We're going to have some differing thoughts down the line.
Yeah.
If you're scared, say you're scared.
I'm scared to pick Arkansas. I'll say that.
Isn't everyone? Embrace the hog.
What the hell? I will embrace the hog. I'll take Arkansas to get the win on the road. There it is.
Yes.
All right. I might have thought something this week if Vanderbilt had been able to beat Georgia State, but I don't now. But they do go to Missouri. Missouri's a 20.5-point favorite in this one. Missouri is – they're seventh. They're ranked seventh, but they are under the radar playing really well. They handled Boston College relatively easily last week. They fell behind, but then they came back and they got control of that game. Brady Cook's been really good. Defensively, they're really good. And Luther Burden finally showed up last week. That's not good news for everybody that has to play Missouri. I think they win easily this week, right?
Yeah, Vanderbilt proved last week they were still Vanderbilt. So Missouri looks really good, both sides of the ball. They were kind of tit for tat with Boston College. They fell behind a little bit, but they managed to get out of that and had a good win against them. So I'm going with the Tigers.
All right. And then last game we got to pick here, the big game of the weekend, 6:30 kickoff on ABC, number 6 Tennessee at number 15 Oklahoma. 7-point line, Tennessee favored. That's going to be the PTG Outdoors fishy line of the week. Tennessee is going to murder this Oklahoma team. It's going to be a bloodbath, I think. I'm all over the Volunteers here.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be good at all. I think this is going to be very telling for Oklahoma and Tennessee too. That's a team that people aren't talking about enough. That's a national championship caliber team.
People gave me some crap because I said they were going to go 11-1 when we did our picks in the summer. That team, they look fantastic. And then
like Josh Heupel,
Georgia. They can yep. Georgia. Where is that game? Tennessee. They're at Georgia. It's tough on the road, but
yeah, this is going to be bad. Oklahoma struggled against Houston, so yeah, I'm going with Tennessee to
and Tulane
definitely Tulane's cover
in that game.
Yeah,
yeah. So for sure, yeah, Tennessee to win. All right. So first chance for separation this week. Arkansas at Auburn is the game to watch between me and Robbie. I have the Hogs. Robbie has the Tiger. Robbie has gotten into bed with Hugh Freeze is what's happened here.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what's happened here. You have aligned yourself with Hugh Freeze. I am on the motorcycle with Bobby Petrino, however. So there's just no winning for either one of us.
I think that in this game, Bobby Petrino should wear a neck brace and Hugh Freeze should be in a hospital bed.
I mean, I would be for that. So,
who's calling plays this week? Is Hugh taking over play calling duties again?
Hugh is still not calling plays. He changed quarterbacks. The next thing is to take away the play calling. So we'll go from there.
How quick this guy was so he was so sure that Thorne was going to be his quarterback. Didn't care about going to get anybody else. He had so much faith in him. And after one bad game, he's out.
He's out. That's how it's got to be.
Crazy.
So, all right, guys. Tomorrow's show. I've got some interviews lined up, but we'll see. I'm not entirely sure what we got going here. So we'll have a show. I'll put it that way. We'll have a show on Thursday. Talk to you guys then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Drop the bombshell straight to the track. The 21st century killing machine burned on the inside of a five-headed team. Now I'm not the same because you're not the same.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.